This time on episode 256 of Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., we discuss Legion, Chapter 19, weekly Marvel news, and your feedback.
I'm Brady Berserker from Super Geeky Playdate, a proud member of the Gunna Geek Network. Just like the show you're listening to now, the opinions expressed are those of each individual host. Check out all the other podcasts at GunnaGeekNetwork.com and get ready because geekiness begins in 3, 2, 1.
You have been granted clearance by Director Alfonso Mack McKenzie. Stand by for a S.H.I.E.L.D. debriefing. All information to be discussed here is classified and may only be discussed among agents granted clearance by the S.H.I.E.L.D. Director.
Now it's time for your scheduled debriefing. I'm Director SP.
I'm Agent Lauren.
And I'm Consultant Michelle.
Welcome to Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. It's a Marvel Comic Universe fan show. The show is recorded on Sunday, September 30th, 2018, live from the Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. studios and broadcast astroplane-wide for the last time in a while via www.geeks.live. Ladies, happy International Podcasting Day.
Happy US holiday.
Pretty much. This is us celebrating podcasting in general, but since we're podcasting, we're celebrating us today.
Yes.
Yay.
Go us.
Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., by the way, is a fan-based podcast on the ABC television show Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., the multiple Marvel Netflix series, which we might get into next week, Legion on FX, which we are completing season two today, the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and the Marvel comic book universes in general.
Because of beef bouillon minotaur blood.
If you'd like to talk to us about beef bouillon minotaur blood, you can visit our website, legendsofshield.com.
You can find us on voicemail and leave us a message about your experience with minotaurs at 844-THE-BUS-1. That's 844-843-2871.
You can tell us stories about your battles with mythical beasts on Facebook, Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. Podcast.
You can find us on Twitter at Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D.
You can watch our video companion and see our lovely faces on YouTube, www.youtube.com/GunnaGeek.
You can tell your Amazon device to enable Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. skill.
And remember, Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. is a proud member of the GunnaGeek.com network.
Indeed. Now, Agent Haley got delayed. I don't know if she had a flat tire. Maybe she had to go be a sniper out in the desert. I mean, she does live in the desert, so maybe this is part of what's going on tonight. We actually don't know where she is right now, but I can only imagine the special mission that she's actually on.
Must be important.
I'm imagining kidnapped by prairie dogs.
Always the worst with you, Lauren. Always the worst.
They have prairie dogs in Arizona, right? Maybe not.
I know they have prairie dogs in like Colorado. I think they have them in New Mexico. I'm not sure if they have them in Arizona.
Okay. Kidnapped by horny toads. Wait, that sounded bad. Let's go.
Armadillos.
Do they have armadillos in Arizona? I know they have armadillos in Texas. I don't know much about Arizona other than it's hot and dry.
Fine. She's been kidnapped by cacti. How about that?
Okay.
Movable cacti, that is scary indeed. That's worthy of a Doctor Who plot.
The cactuar from Final Fantasy.
Ah. Okay, Lauren pulling out for the win there. Anyway, we hope that Agent Haley will be back with us next week. In the meantime, we're going to get on into the main event. The main event today is the season finale, the second season finale of Legion, which airs on FX. Now, Chapter 19, which is the season finale, aired on Tuesday, June 12, 2018 on the FX network and earned a 0.315 rating. Now, as we've been saying all along here, Legion was renewed for a third season on June 1st, 2018. And just knowing that, you kind of knew there was going to be a cliffhanger at the end. So, Michelle, when you were watching this live, you knew it was going to be a cliffhanger.
What's interesting is FX actually ordered 10 episodes, and they actually added an episode
later on. So it's interesting about, you know, how come they did that. At first, when I heard about that, I thought they were actually going to be canceled, that they were going to give Noah Hawley an extra episode to wrap things up. But I guess it was them saying, okay, here, take an episode to set up the third season and we'll renew it.
I guess it could go one of two ways. You have an extra episode to either renew or to wrap it up. Although I'm trying to think, at the end of last episode, I don't know if it could have been wrapped up, like the season. I don't think the season could have been wrapped up last episode.
Well, no, it was during, I think, the first third where that announcement came in. That announcement of the extra episode came way before the renewal. So I actually thought it was going to be canceled way before the renewal announcement came. So when it actually said it's been renewed, I got shocked because I was actually prepared for it to be wrapped up and canceled by the end of this season.
Okay. Well, maybe he just argued for the extra episode because the story was going to take it this far. I don't, it's hard to tell. We haven't interviewed anybody. I haven't read any stories about it. So we'll see what we can find out in the off season. In the meantime, Lauren, let's get back into the behind the scenes of the episode and let's talk about who directed it.
The episode was directed by Keith Gordon, who has 26 directing credits starting in 1988, including Homicide: Life on the Street, Rubicon, The Killing, Dexter, Fargo, a bunch of procedurals. And looking back, his very first directing credit is The Chocolate War, which was a movie and book that I hated, but that we watched when I was in school. I think this is a great improvement from that.
I think we need to take a little bit of time to go back into Lauren's school career and find out how many movies and books that she was forced to consume that she didn't like.
Surprisingly few, actually.
Oh, so this stood out.
Yeah, it stood out because it was something that I felt like I should have liked because it's all about standing up to authority and stuff like that. But I just, it was very brotastic to me. I kind of hated it. And literally the only thing I remember about the movie is the scene where they're like, oh, we're going to do this thing where every time the priest that's teaching the class says the word environment, everyone stands up. And the priest catches up on it and just starts like saying it super often. So all these guys who are like, it's going to be a super funny prank, they just look like idiots. But it was kind of a running joke for a while, just be like, environment, like the way that the guy says it in the movie. It was one of those you had to be there and see it things. I really didn't like the movie or the book.
Like most high school careers. Okay, Michelle, who wrote this episode?
This episode was written by Noah Hawley, the creator of the show. This is an episode that he wrote solo. That was just him.
Oh. All right, so this episode was titled Chapter 19, and we're just not going to go into what Chapter 19 means because I'm kind of sick of talking about the falsity of an unimaginative state of the titles, but it is Chapter 19, which was actually, I will talk a little bit about it, because during the episode, they went from like Chapter 10 to 12, the placards that they showed.
Yeah, that was interesting.
Indeed. I didn't see Chapter 11. Did I miss it?
No, I think it was going back to, well, with Chapter 10, the delusion. So we obviously focus on the delusion. And with Chapter 12, I couldn't remember what was going on there.
The Trial of the Shadow King.
That's it.
Here you go. Very memorable, those chapter placards. Although I did like how they were actually written. It looked pretty cool, but that was about it with them. Okay. Michelle, there was a song that started off this episode, and it was really neat how it was filmed. I was actually in awe, and I could clearly tell that this was a superhero or comic book sort of episode or show. And why don't you take our listeners down the lane of what the song was and what it meant?
Well, it was a cover of The Who's song Behind Blue Eyes. And it's really interesting. David is floating towards the confrontation with Farouk, and Farouk's actually floating toward the confrontation as well. And the song, it was just perfect. It's almost as though that it was like written for the show almost. You know, no one knows what it's like to be the sad man. No one knows what it's like to be the bad man behind blue eyes, hated, faded. It was just amazing. on the soundtrack, which were interesting, they actually have the episodic version of this on the soundtrack where it is both of them on there. And it's really interesting, you know, how we got Farouk's actual native tongue in there with part of the song. It was just amazing.
So three things that I want to mention. According to the closed caption that I had, it was Farsi that he's singing in.
Yep.
If you have never heard, I'm blanking on the actor's name, plays David.
David? That would be Mr. Dan Stevens.
Thank you. The guy has a fantastic voice, and if you want to hear him sing just amazingly, the live action Beauty and the Beast, he sings in that, does a fantastic job. There's a song they wrote for the movie called Evermore, and it's gorgeous. And the other thing is that I noticed their little, well, first of all, it looked like a music video. It was great. But their little energy forms that are fighting in the sky above them, they're red and green, which are on the color wheel opposites.
It's also navigational colors, red and green, port and starboard.
Because they are opposites. And red in a lot of the red is associated in the human mind with danger because we associate it with blood. Green tends to be associated with safe because it's the color of things like living things. It's, and again, because it's the opposite of red. And this whole scene reminded me of a music video. And it reminded me, I don't know if either of y'all have ever read Neil Gaiman's Sandman series.
Yes.
Okay. It reminded me of the fight between Morpheus and the demon in the very first comic where he's going to get his artifacts back. He goes to hell. He gets into a fight with the demon and they go, it's kind of a poetry battle where it's like, okay, I'm this, then I'm this. And they're trying to counter each other.
Yeah. Him and Lucifer.
Yeah. And it's super awesome. And when I'm watching it, I'm like, oh, it's, technically, it's a DC property, but it reminded me of that. It was great.
So did you get your three things out there, Lauren?
I got more than three things, but yeah.
Okay. Just making sure. So we do have this animated astral fight, and that was interesting. It was them going after each other, and there has been precedence for this in the series itself. We had a fight with the two of them before in the astral plane, as well as we've had musical fights in this season, and I believe last season too. So this was not new, but it was new how they combined everything together. And I really enjoyed the visual. I had no idea how it was going to actually pan out, other than I knew they were both actually going to survive because I just had a feeling that they were going to survive. And they both ultimately did.
True. Of course, if David had his way, he, you know.
Yes, he would have killed Farouk.
He would have killed him with a rock.
Or his bare, I think he was just punching him with his bare hands at that point, right?
Yeah. Well, he was picking up a rock and ready to finish him off.
So what's your favorite part of the animated fight, Michelle?
The whole, how Farouk just turned into Sid and how it just stopped David in his tracks. And then Farouk erupts out of Sid and becomes like the spider thing and does that nice spider fly wrapping up and biting into him.
When the woman was formed by Farouk, I actually took a second to figure out who it was because I thought it might have been actually Amy holding them back. It took me a while to figure out it was Sid. Lauren, did you figure out it was Sid right away?
Yes, I recognized her voice.
All right, so there was all that going on up on the mountaintop, and then the fork was shot by Lenny. And thus, everybody lost their powers for a little bit, which was interesting. And it led to Sid coming and trying to confront David. And she almost went all the way through with it and basically killing David.
All this worry I had about, oh, Sid with the Minotaur. She comes up and she's holding the Minotaur's severed head.
But it wasn't her that cut off the head, though. That was Carrie with a C, right?
Yeah, Carrie with a K, girl Carrie.
Yeah, Carrie with K.
Oh, God, I love her. I love both the Carries. They're just great.
Yeah, and they didn't have a huge part in this episode, but they had very prominent parts when they were on the screen. And so Sid shows up with the Minotaur head. And, you know, I've been really thinking about this Minotaur the entire time since it came up with Melanie, and Michelle, you'd been foreshadowing it a little bit. And then all of a sudden it was just the severed head. That was it. That was all the Minotaur was.
It's kind of disappointing that we did not get the awesome fight. I would have loved to have seen Carrie rip off the head of the Minotaur. I wanted to see both of them kick the Minotaur's butt. That is one of the things I was disappointed in with this episode. We did not get to see that awesome fight.
We did get to see the awesome fight the previous episode with Carrie with a K was going after everybody. And I don't think that they had time to do it this episode. I think they wanted to highlight the Farouk and David fight.
Yeah, I guess the budget got spent on that, which I'm okay with.
It's not just budget, it's time. It's actual airtime.
Oh, yeah.
Even though this is extended, I think it ran an hour and 9 minutes, I want to say, on the FX channel, because they'll go long with these awesome shows that they have late at night, like The Americans and The Legion. They allow that extra because they're not butting up against any late show or news or anything. So they allow them to go late here and there. I think a couple episodes ago, it was actually like chapter 17 was actually an hour. Might have been chapter 18 too.
I think that was like the only one that was an hour. There was like only one or two that were an hour and the rest were an hour 9, an hour 12, an hour 17.
So they're really stretching the time as it is. And in this one, I just couldn't see them with all the things that they had to do with David and Sid and everything. I mean, even the Carries we just talked about, they weren't on the screen all that much. And this is why, because they had so much other things that they had to go into, Farouk and David in the prison cell and everything. So I don't think there was time. But yes, I would have loved to have seen a little bit more of that fight. But I'm just taking comfort in the fact that we saw the fight last week.
And hey, knowing that Carrie ripped off the Minotaur's head, that made me happy.
Yeah, she was so happy about it.
It's what she lives for. All right, David, at the end of all this, when he starts to get his powers back, I wasn't 100% sure what he was doing, but I knew whatever he was doing was not great. It turns out that he was rewriting Sid's brain a little bit, and that's just wrong.
David has been making a lot of questionable decisions lately. And we find out he might have been making them for a lot longer than that. And in this episode, it's kind of dialed up to 11.
Michelle, what'd you take of the actual act here of David? And I guess it's not just this, because it's also when they make it back to Division 3. And he's just smothering and dominating over Sid and rewriting Sid. And as Farouk was saying, you can't make somebody love you because I've tried to make you love me over 3 decades and it never worked. That's kind of scary to think of it in that terms, but that's exactly where David is right now with Sid.
Yes. What is interesting is how everything comes back together. And when Sid shoots, and we learn that Lenny actually stops Sid's bullet with her bullet, which that's some nice foreshadowing. When David goes into his bedroom and he talks with his other selves, one of them points out a delusion starts like any idea, an egg, and confronts David, you are living in a delusion. And that delusion is what he thought when he first saw Sid was, I'm a good person. I deserve love. And he hangs on to that idea. And the idea that he learned from watching Sid's life, which is God loves the sinners most. And he is putting that together and he's justifying what he's doing by trying to, he's like, look, I love Sid. She loves me. Our love is a fairy tale. That's something else that he has said earlier in the season. I can fix this. She just needs to remember how much she loves me. And when she does, that's going to make everything better. But Farouk realizes that it's very interesting, the conversation with Farouk. It's like, has David always been like this? Or did Farouk make him get this idea of manipulating somebody's head in order to make them love you? Because he's like, what you are doing to her is wrong, the way you are tricking her. And the look that you are giving me right now, she will give you when she learns the truth.
Yeah, that was breaking. So Farouk is still not a good guy. He's a bad guy. I will maintain that forever. But all of a sudden, D3 is like, well, this is now our only defense against David. So we need to keep him alive. And then the trial that they have for David, once he's gone ahead and done all this stuff, is for David. It's not for Farouk. We'll get to that in a second. There is one thing that I want to talk about, and that is Farouk basically fights his brain power through the suppressor that Carrie with a C has put on his brain, and then sends a mouse to Sid that was never fully explained. The only thing that I could get out of that is that mouse helped Sid remember, but you don't know what else Farouk put in her mind too.
So again, one, I agree. I think that he had triggered in Sid's mind the, yeah, I'm remembering. I agree with you that I think he might have put something else in there, because much as I love watching Farouk, this is, I think, one of the best presentations of the Shadow King I've ever seen in any X-Men media. And the other thing I wanted to mention, the whole, how cool is it he's the Shadow King, that suppressor is a crown. And when they put it on his head, all I could think of was a crown for a king from Game of Thrones. But, okay, again, this show is so good with the visuals. When David steps in, first of all, he's all in white because he's bought into the whole one personality of that one personality's aspect of the whole you can be a god thing. So he's there in white, like he's a savior, like he's above reproach. And he walks in and that force field comes on him. First of all, shaped like our representation of an atom. The X-Men are the children of the atom. There's even a little red ball thing in there, like, and the way that the energy is moving through it, it's very much like any representation of an atom you'll see. So I thought that was really cool. Again, just so much awesome visual symbols and stuff on the show. It's so good. I need to do a really thorough rewatch and just look and see what I've missed with the costumes and with the little gadgets, even.
Yeah, the decorations in David's astral plane room that he went to have the discussion with his two other selves, whatever that was about. Did you take a look at what was on the walls and stuff like that? I found that interesting. It all meant something. And the TVs were playing the lesson of the tar baby, or the tar, whatever it is, tar chicken.
The bug.
Yeah, tar bug, as Michelle was calling it earlier in the season. And I thought that was interesting. It was the same exact thing. I mean, it started to repeat itself. It didn't go all the way to the end, but it was taking David to the original idea that he had that was false, was that he could be loved, as you were saying before, Michelle. And he was a good guy, and way back at the Clockworks. And this progresses through the trial that he is not stable. He is mentally ill, or at least by everybody's definition. That's kind of dangerous to just come out and say it to somebody that's as powerful. I mean, David's the most powerful mutant ever, from what you guys have been telling me.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, to tell that person that you're not right. I guess they thought they had him contained, but they did not.
No. And I'm really curious to see, now that he's taken Lenny and peaced out, he's going to be kind of our villain protagonist for next season, it looks like. So I'm curious to see what's going to happen, because in the comics, David's capable of rebuilding reality. One of my favorite recent arcs is called Age of X. And David creates this whole post-apocalyptic world where he's this incredible, awesome leader of these telekinetic, telepathic warriors, and all of these other X-Men are there. And the kind of the only way that they find their way out of it is Rachel Summers, who is Scott and Jean's daughter from another reality. No, not this reality, not that other reality. No, not that other reality. But she like her astral form comes through because of a different event that's going on. And they realize something's up, and it kind of puts a crack in this reality, and people are trying to figure out what's going on. But until then, everything was kind of seamless. So he has the power to rewrite reality at his will.
That's the interesting part about next season, because they're going to have to prevent him from basically the future that we have seen with future Sid already. And it's just a dangerous time. Although Kerry with a C has been involved as well. And matter of fact, he basically admits that, yeah, he's the one that made the little ball, which we saw at the end of last season and at the beginning of this season. Michelle, in addition to everything that Lauren was saying, we got another lesson, I guess is the best way to say it, during this chapter, and it was playing right before the trial. What was that all about?
What's interesting, there's two things. There's the trial of the Shadow King about, in the end, what is truth? And then we get this voiceover about how in the old days, not so long ago, madmen were packed onto boats and they were considered the ship of fools. And then, but what if, you know, they thought they were the sane ones on land, but what if we're not? What if so much time has passed and we've forgotten the truth that we are the fools on the sea? And it's almost as though they're coming to terms with the fact that what they thought in season one, because this is what's interesting. In season one, Melanie told David that, no, what's going on with you is that you're special, you're a mutant. And you've just been denied your mutant self. That's what's wrong with you.
FYI, Ship of Fools is another of Plato's allegories, but it's not what it was depicted as in the show. You can look it up on Wikipedia and read for yourself.
Melanie really thought David was a sane person, just misdiagnosed, instead of being just mentally ill. No. You're a mutant and that's the cause of everything. And oh, you're also possessed and that's the cause of everything. And that's just allowed David to buy into this delusion of, oh, not only do I deserve love and I'm a good person, but I'm also special. And that's one of the things that he says in the bedroom space. I'm special. I'm this, I'm that. And he goes into this trial thinking this. And what's interesting is I have a mental illness. I haven't been shy about that. And yeah, you need to talk to people in a certain way that will help them ease into something. The Vermilions are like, in the future, you're going to destroy things. You're guilty of this. And he's like, what do you mean? I'm guilty of future crimes. And they're like, yes. And they actually say treatment or death. And that kind of, I think, puts him in like this trapped mentality, because it goes back to that one episode where he sees himself as a god or like as a homeless person who just destroys out of anger. And then we also see what he calls Zombie David. And I've been that, where I've been so medicated, you do feel like a zombie. You don't feel like you can do anything. You're in like this fog. And so he's in this room. He's in actually this trap. And he's being told that he's mentally ill. Kerry says it best, I think, when he says, your mind can't rectify the person we see with the person you think you are. And then she, you know, Sid is like, medication and therapy. And I think it was just overwhelming him, because he actually starts that mantra, I'm a good person, I deserve love, I'm a good person. And he's just looking at everybody, and everybody's just looking at him like fear and pity. I'm not saying what David does is right, but I'm not David. But with someone has a mental illness, when you have a whole bunch of people telling you this, and like, I've actually been hospitalized, one of my biggest fears was to go back. It's like, do not put me back there, because it actually did not do, it helped a little, but I'm just like, I do not want to go back there. That threat, it just kind of, you know, it even makes me anxious now. It's like, no, I don't want to go. I think they could have handled it better with David. knowing that he's powerful, knowing that he could destroy the world, perhaps a better tactic could have been done.
Yeah, maybe go back to Summerland and go back in the memories, although we don't have Ptolemy anymore. And I was kind of expecting him to show up, by the way, especially with Carrie with a C going through all of the history of what happened, all the sensing that what happened during the thing. And then the Admiral also understanding what's going on and viewing everything that's going on in D3 the night before. And we don't have him anymore, so I guess we can't go back and try to help David that way. And then also, I want to point out that Sid basically comes up and says, and this, I think, was the deciding moment. He said, David, you drugged me and you had sex with me.
It's been a really tough while for anybody who is a sexual assault survivor lately, especially because there's been a lot of discussion about what is and isn't sexual assault. You're brought up and somebody tells you, especially if you just watch TV, somebody tells you, you know, rape, sexual assault is when somebody jumps out of the bushes, grabs you and attacks you. That's statistically very unlikely. What's more likely to happen is that somebody you trust betrays that trust. What's more likely to happen is that somebody badgers you until you are just so sick of saying no that you either don't answer and they take that as a yes, or they just wear you down. What's more likely to happen is that someone drugs you or gets you drunk and takes advantage of that. What's more likely to happen is that somebody in a position of power takes advantage of that. Just the list goes on and it's upsetting. And this was kind of clearly coercion. It was David deliberately messing with Sid's mind so that he could go back to that state where she did not remember and essentially kind of psychically roofing her and taking advantage of that. This was rape.
Yeah, she clearly was not into it. Matter of fact, even when they went back to D3, and I've got a question about that too. So when they go back into D3, then they go off to their separate rooms. How did Carrie know to get David to a separate room? I mean, did they witness any of this? They didn't, because he finds out later. So how do they know that David needed to go to a separate room?
She was just said, I just want to be alone. And David's like, no, I want to. Look, when your friend says, I want to be alone, and somebody is pushing to be with them, you go on your friend's side.
Yeah, she clearly says, I just want to go to my room and I just want to sleep. And she says, you have your own room, David.
I can see that fine now. It was kind of confusing to me why he would have stepped, Carrie would have stepped in and vectored David the other way.
Sometimes you just get a weird feel.
That's probably why he went back to view the footage then, because he's just like, okay, what the heck actually happened? Okay. Well, this was a impactful episode. It didn't let up once. It didn't matter if it was the high action at the beginning or if it was the suspense in the middle of figuring out where everybody stood or if it was the trial at the end. This episode didn't let up. There was no downtime during this episode. It was a good season finale. As far as I'm concerned, there's one other thing that we need to talk about, at least that I know of, and that is Oliver and Melanie. They're clearly in the ice cube and their bodies are safe somewhere. Do you think we're ever going to see Oliver and Melanie again? I think not. But what do you guys think?
I saw an interview with Jean Smart. She has filmed a pilot. She actually said, considering how the season ended, she does not expect to be back on Legion. I think it was an interesting way to wrap up the Melanie Oliver storyline with them in the ice cube for, I guess, all eternity, not aging, no more pain. It's like the world didn't end. It's still, you know, sunrise, sunset. We just don't fight in it anymore.
And we have what we always wanted, which is each other. I think that was really what was tearing Melanie apart. Now that she's a part of it, then she's fine. I think they're going to be so disconnected with reality anyway. Oliver definitely, and probably Melanie, because she was going off in that way, even in reality, that I just don't think, I mean, yes, they could be brought back, but I just didn't think they were going to be brought back. That was my opinion. Lauren, what did you think?
I would like to see them again because I just really like the actors. But yeah, it was kind of a bittersweet, not exactly riding off into the sunset, slipping off into the ice cube.
That's fair enough. In the astral plane, basically, they have their own little thing. If you want to see more of that and you missed season one, you should go back and watch season one.
Married on the astral plane. A Harry Potter fanfic survivors of the mid-2000s. You all know what I'm talking about.
All right. Lauren, do you have anything else you want to talk about on this episode?
The whole, can you be held responsible for something that you might do in a future is an interesting question. There's actually a documentary kind of about that. It's called Thought Crimes. It aired in 2015. If anybody is familiar with the case of the cannibal cop, this New York City, I think it was New York City cop who had fantasies about cannibalism and was caught in a sting about that because he was using his work computer. It's this whole question of the guy was saying like, oh yeah, I'm looking up the address of this person, but like, where's the evidence that he was actually going to do it? Or was he just talking big talk on a fetish website? And it's a lot of where do you draw the line? A lot of where do you draw the line for people just fantasizing, and a lot of this person in a position of power is very obviously misusing a lot of their stuff and being creepy and scary, and we should be afraid of people misusing these resources this way. Because if he did want to use police resources to hunt down and hurt somebody, he obviously could. It's an interesting thing. And it's sort of the same thing with David. If he wanted to hurt somebody, he could. And as we saw in this episode, did.
Yeah, Farouk is out now, and it'll be interesting what he does or does in conjunction with D3 next year. And it's an interesting flip-flop. A standard, I guess, in storytelling, you know, the bad guy becomes the good guy sort of thing. But we know that Farouk is not good. So we'll see what happens there. So, Michelle, your final thoughts on the season finale?
I was pleased with how everything ended. I liked how everything came back. Like, on a rewatch, I realized this set up this, and everything. I think it's interesting that Clark is the one that gets the last words. Sydney, after Lenny and David pop out, Sid's like, what do we do now? And Clark says, now we pray. And that's how it ends. I think it's very interesting that out of all the characters that he gets the last words of the season.
Yeah, especially after what's happened to him over the past season and a half. Yeah, it's definitely. Well, it's been worth the watch so far. It's been an amazing story. Dark at times, so not the lightest of stuff, but it definitely is a well-written Marvel property. And we'll see if this Fox and Disney merger actually happens, which hasn't been finalized yet. We'll see what happens with this series, if anything, because it's kind of off on its own, really. So I don't know how connected it would be, but David would be a force in some sort of MCU connection. So we'll see what happens next season. I would assume we're talking about the same airtime, the March, April timeframe into June. So see about next year. In the meantime, we are going to be covering something next week. We haven't decided exactly what. Like I said last time, could be the Punisher, could be Cloak and Dagger. So we'll have to be on pins and needles for the next week. But in the meantime, there are a ton of other podcasts to go catch on our network, right, Michelle?
Yes, we have over 20 shows. One of them is the Intellectual Podcast. On episode 225, Mark Christopher Lawrence is interviewed. Mark Christopher Lawrence chats with David and Whitney about his four-decade career as an actor and comedian, from his days growing up in Compton to his time as Big Mike on the hit TV series Chuck. Mark is honest, funny, and very insightful in his views on succeeding in the business, and it's a conversation you don't want to miss. Again, that's The Intellectual Podcast, episode 225. And now for some news. We're going to start off with Terrence Howard sounding kind of bitter.
So this is a thing that pops up every now and then. This is particularly popped up. This right now has popped up on movieweb.com. Terrence Howard drops harsh words on Marvel over Iron Man 2 firing. 10 years after the release of Iron Man, Terrence Howard was asked on the Bravo series Watch What Happens Live. Sorry, not movieweb.com. This is just the site I got the info from. About the character of War Machine in the MCU. Howard is a fan of Don Cheadle, as I would say, are we all? But he insists that fans want to see him one day return as War Machine. And he said, "You know what's so funny? Even though I love Don Cheadle so much and I love what he's done, I still hear a lot of fans asking, am I going to come back and be War Machine? Am I going to come back and be War Machine? I think they could have a huge franchise off it, but F them." I personally prefer Don Cheadle, just personally, also because Terrence Howard is kind of a jerk in real life, and Don Cheadle is kind of a great Twitter follow, nice guy.
I would hesitate to bring back Terrence Howard at this point in time because there's been a ton of character development, as much as you can with the limited screen time that the character has had. It's just moved beyond where Terrence was. I don't know if he could come back and pick the character up where they have it right now. So I feel for him, but there was a reason why things happened, and he's even admitted it from time to time. So I'm not even sure why this is a news item.
Well, moving on to better news, Spider-Man is filming in a new location.
Yes. So on Instagram, Tom Holland has been posting pictures, and he posted pictures of him and Zendaya and Joseph Batalon. But yeah, it's them in a little gondola in Venice. And he said, serving three looks in Venice today, hashtag Spider-Man Far From Home. Well, that is indeed far from home.
Gotta love Tom Holland. He just lets everybody know everything again. Never believe him in the role of a super spy ever.
Yeah. Yeah.
Next, we have news on Marvel's Sony Venomverse.
Jared Leto, this was like literally just this morning. Like I was just adding it right now. Jared Leto's Morbius, the Living Vampire, is Sony's next Marvel movie. Sony is currently pushing the Venom movie, but Morbius the Living Vampire will be the next film to start production, according to producers Matt Tolmach and Avi Arad. It was announced earlier this year with Jared Leto attached to play the titular character. It was kind of, nobody had heard anything about it for a while. And the producers are saying that it's going to be the next film to follow Venom. It's going to be, I guess, in kind of the same universe as that. And I'm not too happy that it's Jared Leto. I just kind of don't like Jared Leto. I had a crush on him back in the day during like my so-called life days. And he's just been a huge jerk ever since. He was probably a huge jerk then too. I mean, people don't change. But
I didn't care for his character of the Joker, but I don't think that was all him. I think a lot of that was where Warner Brothers wanted to go with him. But
he
I didn't care for
it. Joker. They were saying that the producers are saying that Jared Leto loves the character and that he is going to be bringing a similar level of intensity and charisma and devotion to Morbius. Guys, is he going to be like mailing rats and condoms to people again? Because ew, that was horrible. I mean, the rats, I mean, I guess Margot Robbie kept the rat because it was a live rat. But guys, okay, anybody who method acts kind of just uses it as an excuse to be a jerk. And he's sort of the prime example.
Okay.
Well, on to hopefully a set that didn't have a bunch of jerks in everything, because we're finally getting a movie called Dark Phoenix.
Yes. So this was supposed to have been out a while ago, but it's finally coming out in 2019 and the trailer looks really cool. It dropped earlier this week. The Dark Phoenix storyline is one of my favorites from X-Men comics. They're actually going to space and doing it right. And we got a glimpse of Jessica Chastain as Lilandra. And I'm hyped up, guys. I'm hyped up.
I have to admit, I am too. A fan actually used the audio from the actual Dark Phoenix trailer and they put it with footage of X-Men The Last Stand, the movie that has fortunately been erased from the actual canon by Days of Future Past. But I thought it was interesting that a fan took footage from the movie that no longer exists and put the actual trailer on it. It's very interesting. There's a link in the show notes.
I'm going to have to watch this. I fell asleep listening to the We Hate Movies, X-Men The Last Stand the other night.
Oh. Now, fan trailers can be pretty fun. I watched, I think this was a year ago that it came out, but I just watched it last week, the Top Gun 2 fan trailer. That was pretty funny with all the footage that they pulled in from Tom Cruise and stuff. So fan trailers can be pretty fun.
Moving on to some good news. Tessa Thompson confirms Valerie's post-Infinity War fate and did this in a tweet. Someone added her, did Valkyrie disintegrate? And she's like, nope, she's in one piece and thriving. So that's awesome news.
Thriving. hopefully with Sif too.
Yeah. Tessa Thompson is another just pro Twitter follow. She really likes posting pictures of baby goats.
Can't go wrong with baby goats. And ending on a funny thing. Don't know if you've ever watched Key and Peele. That was a funny show. There's this one sketch of basically President Obama, how he would interact with different people, you know, white people and black people and men versus women and such, all those different reactions. Well, somebody basically ranked the Marvel movies to this sketch and they put like floating titles on him and everything, like Black Panther. It's like, bring it in, fam, you know, like the hug and stuff. And like, there's these three people and it's Captain America 1, 2, and 3. And there's like this huge hug and everything. And it's just like, who ignores like with Fantastic Four. It's very funny. And yeah, even, Peele learned about it and was like, this is a good thing that was made. This is funny.
I disagree with some of this person's opinions because this is, I guess, their own personal ranking, but it is a great, great video. I saw it as a GIF on Reddit the other day and I was dying.
I'll have to take a look at it in the future. And you can catch it on the link in the show notes, but in the meantime, we're going to move on in some feedback.
Well, we got a lot of feedback on Twitter. So, Lauren, tell us what's going on Twitter.
All right. We're starting off with Born to Eat Bacon, who, in response to our episode, our Legion Chapter 13 episode, I couldn't find the scotch, but I got something so much better. Lifting 6-pack of Zima from bag.
Zima.
No lemons for you.
Deke. That's Deke's signature from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which Deke will be back in the next season.
Zima and lemons, y'all. Zima and lemons.
I don't know. We should have a guess as to how he's brought back, because as far as we know, he doesn't exist anymore right now.
I don't know. It's like, with all the timelines and stuff, maybe he's back in this timeline, which is now because I'm going to have to draw a graph. I don't know.
I need a graph at this point. Yes.
We also have from Cajun Sean. What will happen with Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. once Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is finished airing? To which SP responded, are you kidding? There's way too much Marvel content to stop. We cannot catch up now, which, oh God, is so true.
Yeah, we can't even decide what was going to be next. For a long time, we've been saying Punisher is next, but there has been interest in Cloak and Dagger. We still haven't decided, so we will have to decide before we record next week.
Yeah, we need to know what to watch. I'm personally good with either. But Guys, I'm so behind on the Netflix stuff, but I also have Cloak and Dagger on my DVR right now. I can't decide, guys. I can't decide.
We'll make a decision probably after this podcast. Anyway, what else did we have from our listeners?
And we also have from at Adonna Girl. I want afterlife Peggy Carter to be in a relationship with both Daniel Souza and Steve Rogers. And then a gif of Tony Stark. Is it too much to ask for both? I like the way you think.
Indeed. So thank you very much to all our listeners for communicating back and forth with us. We really appreciate it. And we look forward to hearing from you next week. And we'll talk about it in the podcast next week. In the meantime, we are going to pull a David and white glowy transport this one out. Thanks, everybody, for continuing our journey through Legion. It has been a difficult time. This has definitely been a therapy session, and I look forward to everybody's take on Legion, and then I look forward to everybody's take on whatever we tackle next. And I'm still looking for the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. photo shoots from the episodes that they're filming right now. I haven't seen any in a few weeks, but I'm hoping to see some soon.
Thanks to everybody who gets a hold of us on Twitter, on Facebook, YouTube, anywhere. Thanks for letting us know that you're thinking of us. Thank you to Born to Eat Bacon for sending us the awesome bracelets and stuff. Just so amazing and useful and thoughtful. Just thank you so much. You guys make my day. I know you make our day. Again, it's National Podcasting Day.
Yay, podcasting.
Yeah, yay, podcasting. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Yes, thank you to everyone who listens, especially to our therapy session. I was so happy that we were going to cover season two, because I was watching season two all by myself. And it was really good to rewatch and talk about it. So thank you very much for listening and supporting us.
Indeed, that must have been terrible, terrifying, but thank you, everybody, and we look forward to seeing you next week. Until next time, I'm Director SP.
I'm Agent Lauren.
And I'm Consultant Michelle.
Bye.
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 Thank you for listening. If you want to leave us feedback, go to gunnageek.com and you will find all our contact information and other shows. You can also visit legendsofshield.com, where you'll find our complete archive of podcasts. The music heard on this podcast is by Kevin McLeod, found at incompetech.com, and also artists on pawn5.com and audiojungle.net. The opinions heard on this podcast are those of the individual hosts and do not represent Stargate Pioneer Productions, Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., or Gunna Geek. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is the property of the Disney Corporation, Marvel Studios, and ABC. No infringement is intended.
I might, if I have time, start watching season one, but we'll see.
I highly recommend it. It's a happy place show for me.
My rule, as you guys know, is three successful seasons, and then we'll see. I don't know. We'll see.
I would suggest breaking your rule for this show.
Well, it's in its third season, so.
Yeah, but three complete. I don't want to get to the end of season three and be disappointed. I need three good seasons.
You're not going to be disappointed.
Has it been renewed for season four yet?
No, but you're not going to be disappointed.
Okay. Well, then it comes down to a time thing, so we'll see.
Luckily, they're short seasons and half-hour episodes. Well, 20-minute episodes.
So it's not a full 20-season show?
No, it's like 13 episodes a season.
Yeah. Okay. Like, it won't take you that long.
Me and I showed it to my friend Mary, and we breezed through the first two seasons in like days.
I wonder if Sid's going to be the hero next, like the focus next season.
I don't. Can she be the hero after confronting David like she did? Was that the best way to deal with the situation?
Maybe hero's the wrong thing, but I wonder if she actually steps up and becomes more of a lead. I was like her in some episodes, and sometimes it's David.
Yeah,
just a thought.
You were mentioning the other week that, and I can't remember if it was here on Starling Tribune, that the protagonist is not necessarily the hero. It's just who you follow. So yeah, I would assume
that was here. I remember that.
And yeah.
That Sid would be the focus. Sid should be the focus, especially with Melanie and Oliver out. Broadcast has been successfully terminated by nobody. Nobody got terminated. There was no termination in this episode. Oh, by Carrie, the Minotaur.
Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. is copyright 2018.